Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
In the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, we're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 30th, 2012. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your prayer request, or message. Please also leave your phone number. Of course, the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And when you give your phone number, please say it slowly. That way it will be much easier for me to understand it, and if I can understand it, then I can call you back a lot easier. Doesn't that make sense? Amen. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And you folks that are listening to me on radio out there, if you don't use the internet, feel free to use that phone number, 620-878-4682, to ask any questions, contact information, and so on and so forth. Okay, now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father God, I just pray that the radio goes according to your will and not our will tonight, and that you truly bless the people with some information that we need to hear. And please give them all ears and wish to understand it. So please, Father Yahweh, in Yeshua's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Carl Gallatz. He was on with us just a short time ago speaking about his best-selling book, The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith. When he comes on, we'll be sure and ask him about how that book is doing. Carl is an Amazon number one best-selling author, a former decorated Florida lawman, a current 26-year senior pastor of a large Gulf Coast Baptist church, a tenured radio talk host, a highly sought-after radio and television guest commentator, a columnist for a local newspaper, and for WorldNetDaily.com, the founder of the mega viral P.P. Simmons YouTube channel with over 23 million views and 21,000 subs in just a few short years. I wonder how he finds time to do anything. Carl serves on the Board of Regents with the University of Mobile, Alabama. Millions around the world know his face, his voice, and his commentary. Carl has appeared in hundreds of diverse national and international radio markets through dozens of stations. From Man Cow in the Morning, I always thought that was a really funny name, to In the Market with Janet Purcell, everything in between. His most recent national and international television appearances include TBN, Praise the Lord, with Dwight Thompson. He's also been on Atlanta Live, the Richard Scarrett Show in Toronto, Canada, and the Dove Network. Well, let's just welcome him back now. Welcome back, Carl. You there with me?
I am, Brother Dan. Thank you so much for having me. And one of my greatest honors is appearing on the Prophecy Hour with you.
Well, praise the Lord. Thanks for that. I got to ask you this question. I was on Atlanta Live like 10 years ago, so how did you like that program?
You know what? The folks at Atlanta Live were professional. They were gracious. They were just top-notch. I don't know how it was for you 10 years ago, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. The guy that interviewed me for about 30 minutes, his name is John. I can't remember his last name right now, but he was familiar with my book and did a wonderful interview, and I was thoroughly impressed.
Yes, absolutely. He, I think it was the same guy that probably interviewed us, but I really enjoyed it. That was my first sit-in TV appearance, and so it was, I'll never forget it. But anyway, this tonight program is talking about you and not me, for one thing. I got to know, how's the book been doing?
Thank you. Well, we can talk about you, brother, but thanks for asking me. Listen, the book is just, I mean, God's hand is on it, and all praise goes to the Lord. Before it was ever released back in May, it had hit number one in science and religion on Amazon. Here we are 3 months later, and just a few days ago, it was number one again. I mean, it's been number one in science and religion off and on and over again. It has been number 400 on total books on Amazon. Out of about 4 million books they sell, it's been number 400. So, I mean, it's just astronomical. It's been a worldwide phenomenon, and I praise God for it.
Yeah, amen. And, folks, if you haven't picked up the book is The Magic Man in the Sky. And tell them what it does will do for them.
Thank you. Yeah, it's called The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith. The title's a little provocative. We meant it to be. It comes from that atheist argument of, I would rather believe in subtle scientific fact than some magic man in the sky. So I took that and kind of turned around on him. But it's a sweeping defense of the Christian faith, with a lot of humor, a lot of illustrations that are unique to me, written in a style that almost anybody, the average person sitting in the pew can grasp. It's filled with tons of science and logic and tons of contextually interpreted scripture, folks are loving it. Not only am I just hearing from folks in the pew and Bible studies and churches and pastors that are loving it, but I've had a seminary professor and a Christian university professor write me and tell me that they read it and loved it and are going to use it in their classes. So, I mean, it's kind of for a graduating senior right on through to a college student is where it's hitting.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree with it. I always look at something that will hit, you know, beyond the pews, you know, that outside the church, because that's what we need to do. We need to get more young people saved, and I think this is a good book. That's a good point. Graduation is next year, or maybe even before graduation, folks. Give this book to your son or your daughter, and I think that they will enjoy it and will bring them a lot of insight, and maybe get them in the church.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it'd make a good Christmas gift as well. Plus, the book is also, a lot of people, Brother Dan, are reading it and then saying, oh my gosh, I've got to share this with my skeptic friend or my atheist uncle or my brother that says he's an unbeliever, because it's written in such a way that it's not offensive to the unbeliever. And in fact, it kind of intrigues them the way the first chapter is written. But, so people are finding all manner of ways to use the book, and I'm honored. Thank you for asking me about it.
Well, couldn't let the program pass without it. Amen. So now that we've talked about your book a little bit, and we're going to mention the book, folks, again before we get out of here, so you'll know where can they get it at, by the way?
Amazon.com. Yeah, Amazon.com is the quickest, easiest way. They can, if they just go there, put my name in, Carl Gallups, G-A-L-L-U-P-S, and they can find out everything about me at CarlGallups.com. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask the website. Okay, well, tonight, I'm going to say it like this. You're going to tell us somewhat about Obama's love affair with the Muslims, as I call it.
Well, bless his heart.
I didn't know how else to put it.
The latest travesty concerning this has been two things that have happened back-to-back, and that's Obama's Iftar Ramadan speech that he gave in the White House just a few weeks ago, where he trashed American history and twisted it. And I'll give your listeners some examples here in a moment. This is going to blow them away. I mean, you would think that no sitting president could be this ignorant of American history. So he's either ignorant of it or he purposely lied about it. And then, right on the heels of that, the DNC announces that it's going to open its convention with a two-hour Juma Muslim prayer, which is the Friday congregational prayers, in which they're expecting 20,000 Muslims to come. And until this afternoon, they were refusing any Christian prayers to be said at all. And this afternoon, they finally caved to the Catholic Church, and they're going to allow a Catholic cardinal to give some kind of a Christian prayer. But the DNC was more than prepared to make it a total Muslim event. And on top of that, the guy that they had arranged to lead the Muslim prayers for 2 hours is a known connected guy to Muslim terrorism and the people that tried to blow up the World Trade Center the first time. I mean, it's just an outrage, Brother Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, folks, be sure and tune in 8 o'clock on Sunday night, because we did a program about that and some more things that you'll be interested in, Mission Watch, and we're going to be talking about that guy in detail. Yeah, it's a total outrage. I don't, you know, makes you wonder, well, what is the motivation? I mean, you know,
well,
have you thought about
that?
Well,
I think I know. Yeah, I think I know, and it's only speculation, but I mean, as you announced, you know, I'm also a 10-year talk radio host, and so for the last, you know, 3.5 years of the Obama administration, I've been reporting and researching and having experts, people who live in the Middle East and Israel and former Muslims who are now believers on my show and interviewing them, and the thing that we've put together is basically what the movie 2016 Obama's America has put together, which I saw. And it basically is that he was raised in the Muslim Sunni tradition and in a socialist, anti-American tradition. He has an agenda. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling the truth. And his agenda, I mean, as reflected in his iftar dinner speech, again, I want to share with your listeners some of that, but his agenda is to exalt Islam, exalt the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. The Al-Qaeda came out of the Muslim Brotherhood, the people, you know, 9/11. I mean, this is who he's exalting. And while he's thumbing his nose at the Constitution, thumbing his nose at Congress, thumbing his nose at the American people, and exalting Islam. So it's an agenda, Brother Dan, and I've been saying this. I said this 3 years ago, and I had people calling my program, calling me a racist and an alarmist and, you know, insensitive and, you know, and it's just because he's black. Well, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I was just calling the truth. And here we are 3 years later, and it's right in front of our face with the DNC rubbing it in America's face, trying to make it a Muslim-oriented event. And, Brother Dan, if people don't get it now, I just don't, I guess they're just not going to get it. I don't know. I think people are getting it, though.
It's pretty shocking, to say the least. Well, he did give us a little preview. I mean, when he got into office, he said that he believed that America was no longer a Christian nation, but actually yeah. said that America was a Muslim nation.
Yeah, he said it was one of the world's largest Muslim nations, which was another travesty of truth and a travesty of history. We are not one of the largest Muslim nations. We're way down on the list when you consider the total Muslim population. He also, in that speech, he said that Muslims have played a huge part in the heritage of America. And as a matter of fact, they have not. In fact, the only part they've really played that's made an impact on America has been in the area of piracy and the Barbary Wars and terrorism and 9/11. I mean, you know, I mean, that's what the Muslim community as a whole has played in the part of American politics and American history.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as far as being racist, the Muslims, it was the Muslim pirates and slave traders that actually sold the slaves to the Americans.
Well, that's another truth of history. And as a matter of fact, you know, his Kenyan heritage, if in fact that is his heritage, they were slave traders. The Kenyans were not slaves. They were the ones that traded in slaves.
Well, isn't it pretty amazing? The statement you just made, you said, in fact, if that is his heritage, how do we have somebody in the White House where we really, honestly, we can't prove anything about him, and we can say, well, we really don't know about him. Is that not ludicrous?
Well, you know what? It is ludicrous, and you ask the question, how can that be? And I'm going to tell you how. Because I was a former 10-year law enforcement officer, and again, 10 years on talk radio and interviewing all the experts, and I've analyzed this thing. The travesty of the whole thing, Brother Dan, I think has just been the naivety, the innocence, and the relative youth of our nation. We're still a relatively young nation. We really, Brother Dan, do not have a legal requirement for a man running for president to turn over any documents proving who he is. In other words, we have, down through the years, we have trusted the conventions, the DNC or the RNC, to vet their candidates and to present them to the public and to the states sign a little piece of paper that they send around to all the 50 states saying, this is our candidate, and we verify that he's constitutionally able to serve. But there is no vetting process in any legal way. There just isn't. And there shouldn't really have to be, you know? But this man has proved, I started to say president, but I don't know if he is. I mean, this man has proven to us that we must have some type of legal vetting process, because our founding fathers, they knew a day like this could come. That's why they put it in the Constitution that the president, and only the president and vice president, had to be natural-born citizens, which is a very big deal. Otherwise, you're going to get a foreigner running the military. And that may be what we have happening right now, Brother Dan.
Well, let's ask that for the people. What's a natural-born citizen? I've heard lots of views. Okay. What's yours?
Well, and there are a lot of views, but the latest definition comes from Senate Resolution 511 in 2008, when the Senate vetted John McCain, of all things, during the election, because he was born in the Panama Canal Zone, and some issues came up about whether or not he would be natural-born. And they finally resolved Senate Resolution 511, you can look it up on the internet, read the whole thing, it's only about 8 paragraphs, that John McCain was eligible, and the two requirements they said that he met was, number one, he was born on American soil, even though it was the Panama Canal Zone, it was a military base, so they said, well, we're going to count that as American soil. And the second requirement, they said, was that he was born to his parents were both citizens at the time of his birth. Now, those were the requirements that the Senate put on John McCain in 2008, which matches the last Supreme Court ruling on the case back in the late 1800s. But what's interesting is that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton sat on that Senate investigation committee and signed the document. Now, Obama is president, and we know that his father was never an American citizen, and we don't know for certain if he was born on American soil. So, I mean, the whole thing is just a travesty of truth.
Well, you know, if it just shows you, I mean, what a two-sided thing. Who's in charge in Washington? Because if they vetted John McCain, and with all of this controversy, and there wasn't near the controversy that there is with Obama, why don't they vet him?
Well, they refused to. The House asked the Senate, they petitioned the Senate, since they were doing an investigation on McCain, to do one on Obama at the same time, and they refused to do it. They refused to do it. Wouldn't even talk about it. And so the man has been given a free pass all along. But I'm going to tell you what the Constitution says, Brother Dan, because I've researched this. Congress is ultimately responsible for determining that the man that is serving in the presidency is constitutionally eligible to serve. The Constitution actually says that. And as a matter of fact, when several of these cases about Obama's citizenship made it to some of the federal courts, no court has ever heard the case on its merits, but a couple of federal courts ruled, look, this is not our jurisdiction. The Constitution says Congress should be making this determination. And when the court said that, I applauded them. I said, they're right. That is the correct ruling. It is Congress's job. But, Brother Dan, we've got a bunch of wimps in Congress.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it wouldn't matter. Do you think it would change if the Republicans were in charge of both sides of Congress?
Well, the RNC...
You don't have to answer that.
No, I'm going to answer it. The establishment RNC is not conservative. They're not much more... They're just a little bit to the right of the DNC. The only reason we're hearing all this conservative talk coming out of Romney and Ryan and the RNC right now is because of the huge Tea Party and Middle America influence. And they hate it. They're doing it begrudgingly. They do not want to present themselves as being too far right. So I don't know. I mean, let me give you an example. Michelle Bachmann and 5 other congressmen serving on the Security Committee asked a question about Muslim Brotherhood infiltration in the White House, and it wasn't the left that came out and trashed them. It was Marco Rubio, John McCain, and John Boehner, the champions of the conservatives, so-called. They came out in the media and trashed Michelle Bachmann for doing her job, Brother Dan. So I don't know. I don't know if the so-called Republicans will do what they're supposed to do or not.
Will the establishment Republicans know where my faith starts to lie as these new people that we've been getting in? Well, we will call them the Tea Party Patriots or whatever you want to call them. But these other people, I think, have been in Congress too long. I think there should be term limits or something. But can I mention who Abedin for a moment?
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty much an expert on that, too.
Well, good. We can talk about that for a couple of minutes. I'll tell you a little bit about what I said, and I'll let you define it. Anyway, you remember when her husband, Anthony Weiner Gates, so to speak, got in trouble? Well, when that happened, I had Walid Shubat, that works for him, and two other people. I had Janice Kephart, who delivered the immigration report on the 9/11 hijackers to the 9/11 commission. I had those three different people on my program in 2011 talking about this in detail, and one of them again on my program is going to be on Sunday night. But this woman should be tried as a spy.
She has known, documented, deep ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Her father, her mother, her brother, and she is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood Front student organizations, and also is documented to have worked directly for some of the Muslim Brotherhood dignitaries. And let me remind your listeners, the Muslim Brotherhood is not just some cute little name for a Muslim group. This is a known terrorist organization. Enemies of Israel, enemies of the United States, in their founding documents, they document that their whole reason for existence is to destroy Jews and Christians, Israel and the United States. She's a card-carrying member. Her whole family is. And she came into the White House under Bill and Hillary Clinton when Bill was president. She was working on Hillary's staff. Now Hillary is Secretary of State. Now Uma Abedin is Deputy Chief of Staff. I mean,
let me break
this
in here. We're going to have to go to a break in 30 seconds.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we got to go to a break in 30 seconds. So why don't you tell them where your website is again, and we'll go to break and come back and talk some more. First half went fast, and I guarantee so will the second half.
Thank you. CarlGallups.com. CarlGallups.com. GALLUPS. That's the website. They find out everything about me and my book.
All right, folks. Come back in 3 minutes, and I'll try not to interrupt you so much. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And yes, folks, the homeless are poor, but the poor that we're talking about are the poor people in the neighborhood and across the city that, while they're underemployed, while they may be making enough money to put a roof over their head, they don't always have enough money for food, or they come looking for first aid. I have one guy that calls me his physician because he doesn't like to run up $500 or $600, $800 or $1,000 every time he goes to the doctor. And this man, I've stitched up, set bones, and all kinds of things, and he just doesn't want to run up doctor bills. He calls me his physician. So people come to us from all over, whether they're homeless or non-homeless, and even the homeless aren't always those old drunks that you see in movies and things. The people that are homeless are people that just can't find a job. Finally, unemployment has run out. And yeah, some of them don't draw unemployment. That could, because they just don't believe in it. But anyway, we need help to care for the people that the Father sends us. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us now for over 12 years. This is our 13th year. And that's what makes this mission church work. We are the very last hope for so many people, and so just please pray about a donation tonight. Pray about what you can give. Some give $1,000 or more at a time, while others give $100 or less. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father does all, notice all donations, that is, all donations that come from the heart. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order, or you can find this information at prophecyhour.com. You can even call me, for you folks on radio, if you need to call me, you can even call me, 620-878-4682. And now let's see if Carl's still on here with us. Are you still with us, Carl?
Pastor Dan, I am here. I have not left you, my brother.
Well, I thought you might have fell asleep with such a long commercial.
No. And, you know, you're so gracious. You were talking about not interrupting me. Brother, it's your show, and you're a gracious host, and I love talking back and forth with you. So please, sometimes I get carried away. Just interject. I love talking with you.
Well, all right. Amen. The folks are tuning in, though, not to hear so much from me, though. They want to hear a lot of your opinion. But speaking of which, I'm joking. And you have so many folks, you need to go over to his website and check it out. He's got so much stuff over there, you wouldn't believe it. I spent about an hour over there last night. Anyway, can we go a little bit more in on this dinner? Because you pointed out some of the things that he talked about at that dinner about Jefferson.
Yes, it is astounding, Pastor Dan. At the Iftar dinner back in August, just a few weeks ago, which is the beginning of Ramadan for the Muslims, I think George Bush had some Iftar dinner celebrations as well, so I'm not saying he's the only one, but it's just been in recent history that presidents have kind of been acknowledging this Muslim tradition. And you know, strictly constitutionally speaking, there's nothing wrong with that, provided you know, they acknowledge other faiths in our nation. But under Obama, not only has it been an annual event and a big event, but it's been a central event. But even more than that, it's been a dishonest event. And let me tell you, in this last speech he gave, you can go online and read it. It's only about 8 or 9 paragraphs. But let me just read 2 sentences here that he begins with, and I just want to show you. The thing is just filled with falsehoods, particularly as it applies to Islam and America's history. He says, Thomas Jefferson once held a sunset dinner, that's an Iftar Ramadan dinner, here at the White House with an envoy from Tunisia, perhaps the first Iftar dinner at the White House more than 200 years ago. Then he went on to say, and some of you, as you arrive tonight, may have seen our special display, courtesy of our friends at the Library of Congress, the Quran that belonged to Thomas Jefferson. And that's a reminder to all of us that Islam, like so many faiths, is a part of our national story. Well, let me tell you the truth. Thomas Jefferson never held an Iftar dinner in the White House. What happened was there was an envoy from Tunisia who was in the United States. Thomas Jefferson, trying to be a good host, issued a dinner invitation to him. Thomas Jefferson ate dinner at 4 p.m. The Muslim man declined it because at the beginning of Ramadan, which Jefferson probably didn't even know, and said that he could not do anything until after sunset. So Jefferson, being the gracious host that Americans often try to be, said, well, look, after sunset, come on up to the White House and we'll drink some tea and dine together and talk. And so the guy accepted. Well, that's not an Iftar Ramadan celebration dinner. And so Obama just butchered that. But what's worse is when he said to the people, look at Thomas Jefferson. He had a Quran. This proves that Jefferson was, you know, disposed towards the Muslims, and Muslims have a great part in America's history and heritage. Well, the truth is, the reason Thomas Jefferson had that Quran is because Thomas Jefferson was an ambassador for a while, I think to France, maybe Spain, I don't remember, during the time when the Barbary pirates on the Barbary coast, the Muslim pirates, were exacting an extortion money from ships going through, and he asked the Spaniards and the French, what do we do with these people? They're killing us. They're taking people captive. They're a bunch of heathens, and they're extorting money. And the French and the Spanish said, well, you're going to have to pay their extortion money. And he said, why? And they told him it's in their Quran. It's in their holy teachings that if you're not a Muslim and you come through their land, you have to pay this extortion money. So Jefferson went and got a Quran and read it from cover to cover so he would know what he was dealing with. Well, when Jefferson became president a few years later, he petitioned Congress to build him a navy to go fight the pirates. You got to remember, we weren't a superpower back then. We didn't have a very large navy. But Congress did build Jefferson a navy, and Jefferson went to war with the Muslims. I mean, we went to war with the, anybody can look it up in an encyclopedia or on the internet, the Barbary Pirate Wars. And Jefferson crushed the Muslims. The only reason he had a Quran was to learn about the enemy. And Obama stood in the White House and declared that Islam has a great part in our heritage because Jefferson had a Quran. So it's just a complete travesty of the truth and history. So either Obama is woefully ignorant, or he is a great deceiver, or both, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as if having a Quran makes you disposed towards being a Muslim, therefore any religious book you have then would make you disposed towards something. I couldn't even guess what I would be because I have books about all kinds of religions because I want to know about them. So, you know, I know better how to witness.
Oh, yeah, me too. I've got books from the cults themselves, their books, like you probably do. I've got two Qurans, one in my office at the church and one in my office at my house, and so that when somebody tries to quote it to me or tells me what it says, I can go look it up and see for myself. Yeah, that doesn't make me a Muslim or predisposed towards being a Muslim. So it's just a travesty of truth. And a couple of other things he said. Do we have time? I can tell you some other things.
Yeah, we got about 13 minutes
okay.
left.
Okay, all right, then very quickly, two more things that he said that were travesties of the truth. He said that he was so proud of the Arab Spring and freedom that was giving to Muslim women. And I mean, you know, the Arab Spring is a Muslim-Sunni Muslim Brotherhood uprising that installs Sharia law. And we now know that Egypt is fully under control of the Muslim Brotherhood. They are establishing Sharia law. Sharia law holds Muslim women captive in so many ways. There's no freedom for Muslim women in Sharia law. And so Obama just butchered that up. Then he turned around and acknowledged Uma Abedin's presence that night and called her a great American patriot. Well, we know that she has deep, deep, deep ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, going back to that terrorist organization and you know, and all of the investigations that have been done, and Michelle Bachmann calling for investigations. I mean, the whole thing was just a travesty of truth and a travesty of American history. And I just got to believe that the man knows what he's doing. I've just got to believe that he has an agenda and he's trying to push it. I just don't think that he could be that ignorant.
He's not. He is pushing an agenda, absolutely. Everything points to it, and, you know, if people don't want to say it, I'll say it. It's an agenda. Real quickly, we got a little bit of time, but there's a word, it begins with a T, that explains, I can't pronounce the word.
I can say it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called taqiyya, and taqiyya is the Islamic tradition or the Islamic rule that says that you can lie or deceive if it pushes the agenda of Islam. If it advances the agenda of Islam, you can deny that you're a Muslim. You can pretend like you're a Christian. You can lie. You can deceive. You can do whatever you need to do. Well, look, Uma Abedin is married to a Jew. I mean, that's the death penalty in the Middle East. She's a Sunni Muslim with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, but she's married to a Jew in America who happens to be a congressman. That ought to be the first clue, Pastor Dan.
Well, you know what? 20 years back in, let's say the 60s, for instance, if any of this was going on in the 60s, the CIA and everybody would be all over them. She couldn't even have passed a security clearance to get the job. So it really makes no sense. It makes me wonder how our FBI and CIA really feel about these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? Because their rules state against these. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. We live in some very strange times, Pastor Dan. You and I know and believe that we're living in prophetic times. I mean, the Bible speaks to a lot of this, the alignment of the nations that are against Israel now, this Islamization of the world, the Middle East, and now even America. I mean, many, many teachers and preachers of the Word have had this stuff coming for a long time, and I'm afraid it's right at our doorsteps right now, Pastor Dan.
Well, how do you feel about that? There's a lot of talk about Netanyahu saying that he will go to war before the election because he doesn't believe that Obama really won't support him after election. He believes Obama's going to get reelected.
Yeah, he does believe that, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to believe about it, but I do know this. Netanyahu is in the position of pretty much having to confront Iran now because he knows that Obama probably won't stand too much in his way because Obama desperately needs the Jewish And so Netanyahu is making those calculations that if he waits till after the election, and if Obama does go back in, then Netanyahu knows he'll get no support from the United States. So he's having to make some really tough decisions. And I'm sure there's a lot of espionage going on, a lot of computer warfare going on even now. There's probably some covert operations going on now. But he's talking about, Netanyahu's talking about the possibility of all-out strike against the nuclear facility. So we may see that happen very soon. I mean, between now and November, we're living in very interesting times, Pastor Dan.
Well, a lot of people, what, in your opinion, do you think the effect, if any, I believe it would be a large, but what do you believe the effect would be on the United States if they entered into even a protracted work 30 days over there?
You mean in Iran?
Against Iran. If there was a war between Israel and Iran in the Middle East over there, if that happened, it lasted 30 days, would that do anything to the United States?
Well, first of all, it would drive oil prices through the roof, which is what Obama wants anyway. I mean, Obama said that early on in his presidency, that he didn't think $4 gasoline was, unfair at all. So it will drive oil prices through the roof. There probably would be some unrest at home. We have a lot of Iranians that live here. Of course, Iran is Shia Muslim. And see, the Iranians are not Arabs, though. The Iranians are Persian. But they, of course, adhere to the Shia Muslim sect. They're the largest Shia Muslim nation in the world. And so you got that whole Shia-Sunni thing going on over there. So I think it would cause some unrest at home back here for a myriad of reasons. I think that it would drive oil prices through the roof. And it might give Obama some opportunity to pull some shenanigans. A lot of people suspect that he might take advantage of a war with Iran.
Well, absolutely. It might be the thing that he actually needs to get elected, because personally, I've been looking at the polls and just studying everything, because you got to look beyond the news media. And I believe that if the election was actually held tomorrow, I believe that we would overwhelmingly defeat Obama, because I see people even rushing away. Well, let's go with this. In the swing states, did you see that there was over 800,000 Democrats went to their polling offices and said they no longer wanted to be Democrats?
Yes.
And that's pretty astounding.
It is astounding, and I think your assessment is dead on. I think it's brilliant, Pastor Dan. I agree with you. And who are you and I? I mean, we're not God. We don't know, but we are astute. We study. We read. We're radio hosts. We are news reporters. So I agree with you. My assessment is that if the election were held today, Obama would be defeated in a landslide. Well, Obama and his people have to see the same thing. And,
right.
Just everything this man says and does, I have to believe that he's not going to go down graciously, and I have to believe in his narcissism that he's going to do everything humanly possible, to go back in office. And so, there's no telling what's going to happen. Nothing will surprise me. Look, after that iftar dinner, and then the
right.
DNC announcing that they're going to have Juma prayers for 2 hours before the DNC to open the DNC, officially sponsored by the DNC, nothing surprises me anymore. I wouldn't be surprised to pick up the paper in the morning and read that Obama has, tried to declare martial law or something. I don't think it would work, but nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as if he declared martial law, there's a lot of, and I'm not saying I would pick up a gun and do anything, but there are so many people out there that have purchased guns since he came into office. And I don't think they purchased them just to sit quietly. Anyway, this country would go up.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think they know that too. And boy, there's a lot of theories about how he would respond to that. No, I think this huge swell of gun purchases that has happened since he went in office, it's not people who are planning to become hunters.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We might run out of deer before they ran out of bullets. Speaking of bullets, here's just something off the wall. What do you think about people like the Social Security Office and the USDA and all those buying all those hollow point bullets? Did you hear about that?
Oh, I know all about it. It is worse than that. The National Weather Service was involved.
The National Weather Service?
Yeah, somebody's using
it. What did they shoot at?
Well, I don't know what they would use
it
for.
I'm sorry.
But somebody is using every legitimate branch of the federal government to purchase 40 caliber hollow point ammunition. That's military and police grade ammunition. By the millions and millions of rounds, 40, 50, 60 million rounds of hollow point, 40 caliber. They can be shot out of assault rifles, are built for 40 calibers. I've got one. They can be shot out of police style automatic handguns, 40 calibers. I've got several myself, so I know what I'm talking about. It's odd. It's very, very odd that right before an election and right as all of this is going on, that the government would be purchasing this ammunition and using every legitimate governmental agency, even the National Weather Service, to make the purchases. I don't know what to make of it, Pastor Dan. I mean, you know, I mean, I could speculate,
forever,
but it's pretty scary.
Well, you know, my only problem with, you know, people talk about martial law and have for years. You know, I started doing prophecy stuff way back in the 90s and when Clinton was in office. And then back then they had a red list and a green list and all these things. And they were supposedly going to pick everybody up. But I look at it logically. You know, how are you going to get American boys, you know what I mean, you know, your cousin or nephew or uncle or somebody to turn on the American people themselves? I just don't see them doing that.
Listen, I gave a radio interview earlier today, and I said the very same thing. And I don't know if you and I are naive, but I just, you know, I've been a pastor for 26 years in one place, and I live in a military-rich area. I live along the Gulf Coast. I'm near Pensacola NAS and Eglin Air Force Base and Whiting Field. And, you know, I'm down here in this area. And a lot of military people. I mean, my next door neighbor is a former commander of a Navy base. I know these people, and they love America, and they love their communities, and they love their churches, and their pastors, and their friends and family. And Obama's not going to get these guys to put guns to my head and your head. Maybe some. There are, you know, some loyal fruitcakes everywhere. But you know, I think of Romania. Pastor Dan, back when Nicolae Ceausescu was in office, I mean, even in that dark communist country where the military just was owned by the government, even they eventually turned on Nicolae Ceausescu and assassinated him. And I'm not calling for Obama's assassination. I'm talking about history.
Not.
Yeah, I'm talking about history. I'm just saying that even in those dark communist government-owned military times, even their military reached a breaking point and said, you know what? We're tired of mowing down our own family members with our tanks. And
right.
So they took out Nicolae Ceausescu. So I can't imagine that in America, that hasn't gone nearly that dark, that
right.
Our military could be used against us that way for any long-term scale. I just, maybe I'm naive. I just don't see it happening. I don't know. I, you know, somebody may try, but I think it would be tough. And when you consider 80 to 90 million Americans own multiple weapons, it would be awfully hard to do.
Absolutely. Well, let's go with this, and we'll talk a little bit about this because we've got about 3 minutes left. But the most important thing and the safest place to be in all these times, folks, is in the will of God. What do you
think? Yeah, absolutely. You have to be right with Jesus Christ because, bottom line, if you're on Jesus' side, you win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, folks, you really need to, right now, if you're scared, there's no reason to be scared. And we're not trying to scare you. We're just trying to inform you. And won't that fear go away with the Lord? Tell them a little about that.
Oh, absolutely. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I know people listening to us that don't know this stuff might say, well, gosh, you guys don't have a sound mind. Y'all are crazy. No, actually, we're telling you the truth. For example, the Iftar dinner speech. That was crazy. That was fibs. That was deception. Pastor Dan and I are telling you the truth. So the bottom line, the Bible says if you'll abide in his word and let his word abide in you, then you'll know the truth. And what does it say, Pastor Dan? And
the truth will set you free.
Will set you free. That's right. So, you know, I can walk in freedom, Pastor Dan. You and I are walking in freedom. We're walking in the power and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I look around. I see the iftar dinner speech, and I say, look at all the lies. People who are not walking in truth look at that and say, oh, how wonderful. So, you know, so I just say to your audience, look, you know, get in the Word, stay in the Word, make sure your heart is right with God through Jesus Christ, turn your life over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if you have not already done so, walk in the truth, and walk in the promise of God's Word, that you're a child of the King, and you're on the winning side.
Yeah, amen. Well, Carl, I really appreciate you being on. You're a great speaker, and you know, it's always a pleasure to have another brother in Christ on with me. But I'm going to have to let you go. Why don't you give your website one more time and tell them where they can find the magic man in the sky?
I will. Pastor Dan, let me just say to you, you are a gracious host, a great brother in the Lord, and I'm always honored to be on with you. CarlGallops.com is my website. The easiest place to get my book is Amazon.com. It's published by WND Books. Out of Washington, D.C. It was rave-reviewed by the Washington Times. It's been featured on TBN, Atlanta Live, Dove Network, your show, Janet Parshall. It's a worldwide phenomenon. God has blessed it. Amazon.com, put my name in, Carl Gallops, and it'll pop right up. The Magic Man in the Sky, effectively defending the Christian faith.
Amen. Well, all right. Peace be with you, brother. I'll let you
Thank
go
you,
now.
Thank you, Brother Dan.
All right. God
bless.
All right. Folks, we live in times that will try men's souls. You know, a lot of things aren't logical, but who cares if they're logical as long as we're right with Yeshua? You know, like Carl says, if we have Yeshua in our heart, we're walking with Him, the truth will set us free. By being saved and in my heart, I don't have to look up the information and see if what Obama did was right or wrong. It's like, Carl, well, look, I can look at it and say, well, there's a lie, you know, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit within us convicts us. You don't have to study evil things to know the truth. You just have to study good things. You have to study His Word. You must get into that book. And that's why we reread it over and over again. And we reread the Torah on a cycle over and over. That's the first five books of the Bible. You know, the Torah is prophecy, or not prophecy. It's a archery term. It means as an arrow hitting the mark. And, of course, sin is missing the mark. So that's what Torah is. It's God's instructions for holy living. And so it's not a legalistic thing, and you apply it to modern-day things. It teaches us that sin costs, and it teaches us that Messiah would come and set us free, which He did. But we must remember that the Word of God tells us we know what sin is by looking at the Word. And so we must turn away from sin once we become saved. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Really pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church, and tune in to Mission Watch this week. We got a great program. Ben Bart, don't want to miss it. You must remember there is only one God. He is the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave His life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through Him is the only way to the Father. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Again, pray for the Wichita Mission Church. Lift us up in prayer. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.